Being Remembrance Day, we want to move through to 11 o'clock and have a period of remembrance at 11 o'clock at 2 minutes. And before that, I'm going to speak. Remembrance. A strange word which is not in our vocabulary very often, but has enormous significance to us as Christians. Those of you who were here 2 weeks ago, and I want to say a huge thank you to everybody who took part in the International Day last week, because it was really an excellent day, and lots of people really appreciated everything that went into that. So thank you to you. So I've remembered to say thank you. I brought a diary, which is all about me remembering things. But a couple of weeks ago, we looked at, do you see? And out of that, which came from, anybody remember what story was we were looking at? We'll be looking at memory this morning. We were looking at the time when the king of Syria, King of Aram, was coming to try and wipe out what he thought was the spy in his ranks. And the servant of God said to his servant, "Can you see, do you see that those who are with us are more than those who are against us?" And we looked at the fact that God is with us. We looked at the fact that God's purpose is towards peace. And that in that story, there was no bloodshed, because God's purpose is peace. And out of it came a period of peace. His ways are not our ways. So as we come into a time of thinking about remembrance, I'd like us to just remember that God is with us, that God's purpose is peace, and his ways are not our ways. So as we go on, then you'll find this is on the bulletin if you want to read it from there, but 1 Peter chapter 2, we can say this to one another. In fact, we can say, let's read it together. "As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, 'See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame.'" Father, we want to thank you for this opportunity to meet together. That it's an opportunity when we can be living stones who are being built together by you. Because Jesus, you are the one who builds the church. That's what you said, you promised. So this morning we ask that as we think, as we consider and reflect, as we worship together, may your kingdom come and your will be done. We ask for your Holy Spirit to fill this place. Fill each of us, Lord, with that sense of your presence, that sense of your call upon our lives to be living stones, to offer spiritual sacrifices, and in everything to give you all the honour and the glory, because you are the one who is the foundation, the cornerstone. We thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. To start with, I'm going to play you a little video. Just ask that you reflect on this.
Thank you.
Why do we remember? That's the question that I want to ask today. Why do we remember? There are many, many reasons, and I just want to bring three things this morning, very simply, to you. Sometimes it's easier to forget, isn't it? I don't know if you know the Flanders and Swan song, Flanders being a particularly good remembrance theme, but the elephant with amnesia. Elephants never forget. There's a line in which I'm an elephant with amnesia, the mind's a perfect blank. Now life is very much easier, amnesia's to thank. And isn't it sometimes easier to forget? The difficult things, the hard things, the things that other people would like us to remember that perhaps we'd rather not do or rather not think about. Sometimes it's easier to forget. So even God forgets things. Did you know that? Because he says that when he redeemed us, he forgets our sin and remembers it no more. Isn't that good? So forgetting is good, but equally remembering is important as well. And there's a purpose to remembering. And these are the three points that I want to talk about. We remember, one, to appreciate. We remember to avoid the things which maybe we need to avoid. And we remember in order to accomplish things. Those are the three points that I want to talk about. And there's all sorts of scriptures that I could use. The one that I love to bits, it's just wonderful, is where Joshua is leading the people of Israel across the Jordan. And they remember, of course, that at Passover and when they were led across the Red Sea, the sea parted. And now they're on the wrong side of the Jordan and they don't know how they're going to get across. And the Lord says to Joshua, take the Ark of the Covenant, give it to the priests and send them down and get them to put their feet in the water. Okay. I seem to remember something about that from Moses' day. So Moses is gone now. And Moses, in his final speeches through Deuteronomy, keeps saying, don't forget the Lord. Don't forget his commands. Don't forget what he's done. Don't forget his promises. Don't forget. Keep saying, don't forget the Lord. And so Joshua sends the priests down to the river with the Ark of the Covenant. And as soon as their foot touches the water, what it says is that the flow of the river just stops. It's sort of piled up upstream. And they cross over the Ark of the Covenant in the middle of the riverbed. The people walk across on dry land. And the Lord says to them, so that you won't forget that I've done this again, I want you to take stones from the riverbed and I want you to build an altar on the place where I tell you to camp, in the Promised Land on the other side of the Jordan. And there, on the other side of the Jordan, they build this 12 stone, we don't know how big the stones were, they might have been tiny. They might have been just pebbles like, you know, you do when you're on the beach. Oh, they may have been huge things, we just don't know. But then we find in Joshua chapter 4 that Joshua takes 12 stones and he puts them at the point where the priests were standing with the water not flowing. And he puts them there. And then he crosses over to the dry side and the water starts flowing again. So that Joshua's stones, which, according to scripture, are still there to this day, are under the surface. You can't see them. But for Joshua, it's a real solid memory. God did this. I was there. I know it. God was with us. So whatever happens in the future, we'll be able to see these 12 stones that the priests have laid, but I will know that under the surface there are also 12 stones. So we remember in order to appreciate what God has done for us. We mustn't forget the blessings. Count your blessings, name them one by one. And you'd be surprised what God has done. That's why we do the good news slots in the services. Because we want to give praise to God, we want to remember the good things he's done and appreciate them. And that's why I chose 1 Peter chapter 2, because the end of the section, which we'll read a little bit later, it says, why are you chosen? Why are you special? It's in order that you may declare the praises of the Lord. Declare the praises. That's appreciate. So we remember things in order to praise and appreciate God for who he is and what he's done. And that's one of our key roles. The Psalms are full of it. They're also full of honesty about the things that go wrong, but full of praise. Give thanks to the Lord. Enter his courts with thanksgiving, etc., etc. When we come to communion, we remember Jesus. And we remember what he has done for us. And at communion, we're saying, Lord Jesus, I so appreciate, I am so grateful for what you've done for me, for us, because you've taken us from stones in the bottom of a river to being something that can demonstrate the building of a house, a spiritual house. So we remember to appreciate, to give praise. But we also remember to avoid. And the first part of the scripture in 1 Peter 2 says, well, I'll read it to you, that would be easy. We'll read it together in a few minutes. But the first part of 1 Peter chapter 2 says, therefore, let's get rid of certain things. Let's avoid certain things. Therefore, avoid all malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy and slander of every kind. So there's things that we need to avoid and get rid of. And we remember because we need to avoid certain things. The first time that you get burnt by the fire, you think to yourself, oh, I'll maybe not do that again. I think I should avoid that in future. Because it hurts. Because you think to yourself, if I remember this, then the next time it happens, I will be wise. I will have grown to know that this is not the best way of doing things. The first time that you're a driver and you go around the corner too fast and you just get away with it or not, you think to yourself, maybe next time I shall be wise to that situation. You see that you remember things in order to avoid the things which will hurt us, damage us, hurt others, damage others. So we remember to appreciate, but we also remember in order to be wise and know what to avoid and not to do. And that's growing in wisdom and maturity. And of course, Jesus, he said in the scriptures, after he'd been presented at the temple, he continued on growing in wisdom and stature. For Jesus, this was the same process. The whole way through his life, he appreciated and loved his Father. But he also learned to avoid things. And when it came to the temptations, he avoided the pitfalls of selfishness, of hypocrisy, of the things which Peter later writes in his letter. So, to avoid. Then, to application. We seek to do things because we learn skills. We remember skills that are taught us by our teachers, our parents, people around us, and we grow in having skills. And through having those skills and the wisdom, we're able to accomplish things. So when Jesus came to the cross, he was able to say, "It is finished. It is accomplished. The work my Father gave me to do, I have done. It is accomplished. It's finished." And of course, Joshua, who actually has the same name as Jesus, his intention was the same. He wanted to deliver the people into the promised land. And so he appreciated the Father for what he'd done. He said to the people, "You need to avoid these things. Don't do these things." But he accomplished what was set out before him. And for those people who gave their lives in the Great War, they appreciated something about the world in which we live, that the way the country they felt was right. And they fought for that. They did something for us. We need to avoid some of the things that created the situation where they had to fight. And that's where we need to be working to accomplish something today, so that we come back to and see that God's purpose is peace. So we work for peace. In fact, the men who gave their lives work for peace as well. We're coming to the point of remembrance now. So let's read this together. "Therefore, rid yourself of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, 'See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame.' Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and the stone that causes people to stumble, a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you have not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." So we remember and spend a couple of minutes in quietness to appreciate, to think about how we can avoid conflict in the future, and to think about what we should be accomplishing with our lives. Father, we thank you for every person throughout the course of history who has given their lives in the service of others, whether that's a living sacrifice or a sacrifice that has led to death through war or disease or anything. We thank you, Father, for their sacrifice. And we ask, Father, that we too would understand what it is to give our lives as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to you. Because that's our real spiritual worship. And as people across this nation stop to consider and think, we ask, Father, that you would reveal yourself through your church, glorify Jesus the Son, and may his sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice, become the reality of salvation for many, many people in this nation over the next years, in the next decades, until you come again, Lord. So we commit ourselves in the name of Jesus. Amen.